Hi, my name is Rima Tahini. I'm the director of A&R at Maven Records. And on this episode of I Said What I Said, I talked about the work I do with my artists at Maven and all the exciting things around the industry.
Are you into gbegbo?
I actually do want to travel around Nigeria. It's just a trip.
Go to good.
Once I was talking, I asked a question. The teacher said, is it time for questions? Can't you wait?
This is the podcast for you.
I mean, just a sidebar to Christian. Nobody's getting saved by the fact that you're not getting some.
Act of being an adult, grown-upicity.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
I said what I said. The Unsolicited Opinions podcast starts now.
Who was prepared for this?
All right, boys and girls, this fantastic episode of I Said What I Said is brought to you by AfriChange.
AfriChange is the easiest way to send money across Africa and internationally everywhere.
There are very low fees, no processing time, if any, very tiny, and you get loyalty points the more you use.
Yes. If you are in Nigeria, you can pay your bills in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You can send money to Canada.
Exactly.
You can also pay your school fees in Canada directly from Nigeria in Naira. If you are in Canada, you can send money to many, many countries all over the world.
All right, guys. So get to supporting people who support us. Enjoy AfriChange.
Yes, yes.
And enjoy the rest of the episode.
That is AfriChange.com.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, all.
And good morning.
Good anytime.
We have a guest today. We have a very special guest that you guys are not going to hear from often. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's graced us. Rima, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Rima Tahini. I'm the director of A&R at Maven. Yeah.
See that she said it's
very
as if,
quiet.
You know. just a little me, you know.
Rima is a big babe.
A very big babe.
So we're very excited to have you.
Yes.
Because obviously Women's History Month and all that fantastic stuff. But we really thought it would be really interesting to hear about the work you do and why it's important, particularly in the music industry, because I think there's a lot of information about who is forward facing and whose job looks like very glamorous. So people know about like music, the hair and the actual artist, maybe if you're a director like Pink or, you know, stuff like that. People know what that looks like. But a lot of the work that's behind the scenes doesn't really get shown. And that's where a lot of the magic happens. Obviously, artists have to do their thing, but there's a lot of...
Yeah, like you can tell people that have good teams and people that don't, like, as in there weren't no vibes.
Completely.
As well. And so, you can talk about that. You also recently just had a baby.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
About that. Madness.
Oh my gosh. And it was your first Mother's Day. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Anyway, lots of exciting stuff. We also have people who have problems. Just one of
That you can
have
small
problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then finally, me and Jola want to blue.
Okay, yes, this is true.
So we can discuss our future career.
You guys are blurring
me. No, I was saying this thing to someone else in Maven and they're laughing at me. I said, why do you guys want to sign me? I said, look, sign me. Don't worry about my talent. Sign me first.
That's too big.
Then as we're moving along, we'll be figuring out, you know, what we got. Too big.
No such thing.
Can you imagine Rema and Ira's, not telling you you're too big?
I'm telling you.
Nothing like that, please.
I'm looking for a PA. I'm very available.
But what was your weekend like? What did you do this weekend? Did you have a good time?
What did I do this weekend? To be honest, I think right now, a great weekend to me is one where I don't have to wear clothes and go out. Literally, like, that's what my life is about now. Like, anytime I can just relax at home, watch a movie, be with the baby, it's a great weekend.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, really.
Awesome.
So I guess...
What did you do?
What did I do this weekend? I didn't do anything particularly useful. I think I spent most of it at home. It was only yesterday that I went out.
You came to my house, you didn't come inside. Why was that?
Because I didn't want to talk too much.
Okay.
And first of all, I wasn't even sure you were awake.
I wasn't, but that was
exactly.
No, but the point is
exactly.
That,
I know you too well.
Me. The point is that you didn't check.
No, let me tell you something. When I checked the time, I was like, this girl can never be awake.
I wasn't awake.
But if I call you, you'll be like, well, you called me, so you have to come inside.
The truth is that I woke up like 15 minutes later. I saw the message.
Okay,
I said, why didn't this girl come inside?
Because if I had called you, you said, well, you woke me up, so you have to come
inside.
Exactly.
And you guys roommates.
God forbid.
No. I'm just saying, like, why don't you just come to my house? Not even very rude behavior, actually, is what I think. She just drove in, she says she dropped something. No hello, no hi, zero. Yes,
but I didn't do anything. I only dropped, I was supposed to watch Dune 2 yesterday.
Did you?
No.
Let me not lie, that movie looks so intense. Like, I know everyone is talking about the cinematography, and I'm like, great, but there's just so much going on. I feel like it's just
I watched the first one like a few days because I was supposed to watch it.
I haven't watched the first one.
Okay, I think it helps if you watch the first one. But I watched the first one and I remember thinking, so because, you know, Zendaya is like front and center.
Yeah.
And everything. So in the first movie, I'm like, okay.
You're looking for her.
Where is she? Where is she? I know everybody's wearing scarf. I was like, maybe she's one of the people wearing scarf and they're just keeping it a secret until we get to some parts. And then there's a lot of like intense staring.
That's what I'm seeing
in the movie. Like it's just a lot of look, like they really look in the movie. And then it's like a lot of music. And then somebody will look.
It's very severe.
I'm like, it's very severe.
Yeah. Do you know, everyone was saying, oh, cinematic masterpiece. And I was like, oh my, this thing looks like I can have headache.
So yeah. we have a friend who's a filmmaker. I called him. If you said the way he was talking about,
no, they would like it. Like, that's probably their dream.
Like, this is a masterpiece of immense proportion. Everybody said, oh, look at the shots. And to be fair, you see it.
No, it's like, beautiful.
It's incredible. It's but beautiful. I'm just like, there's actually a reason why most people don't do this. Because, low-key, it's a bit of a headache.
No, it was very, and then the thing that I enjoyed the most, like there's a warm. That's what you mean. There's a worm. One and two. There's a worm. And it's like a big deal because it's like there's a way you make noise while you move that will alert the worm. And the worm will come and find you and chow you. And I remember thinking, like, the Nigerian in me just can't take anybody saying worm is a serious.
It's serious.
I'm sorry.
What a villain.
Like, oh, a worm. You know, I'll be very offended if a worm kills me. I just have to say, I have to put it out there. But I wanted to watch it, but I didn't end up being able to watch it. I ended up having drinks. The only thing that I did yesterday was I had drinks. And I don't know whether it's that Nigeria's problems are really getting.
Or the drinks
to me, or the drinks are weaker. Because I was drinking. Oh, like I was thinking about my problems. I was like, this is not working though. This really isn't working. So that was the highlight of my weekend. I attempted to drink my sorries away and it didn't work at all. But I didn't really do much. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, no, I worked throughout this weekend. Like literally, I can't, do you know that? I'm looking at myself and I cannot believe that like the life I'm living is for real. First of all, who sends me? That's question number one. Someone called me on Saturday and I was like, oh, I'm in the factory. They were like, it's 8:00. Like, how are we meant to have dinner? I said, Mama, the way I have forgotten about having any dinner with you, you won't even believe the way I look right now. And they were just like, this is very off-brand. I said, you know what? It really is. But like, there's something that we're trying to do. Like, they have a deadline for this week. So it's just every day, all day. And I'm just like, and with the bridge closed, wow. Is just going to the mainland, coming back. I'm just like, listen, this is actually not what it is. But anyway, you know, hard work pays off for one
thing. You have to keep reminding yourself.
Okay, some people in my staff listen to this. Go team. Up factory. You know, so that's really what I did mostly. And then, of course, yesterday was Mother's Day. And so we went for my cousins. Is like, they are not serious. Because what we now discovered is, okay, me, I have one mother. Then I have my grandmother. All of a sudden, none of them were in the country. Everybody now say we should add their own mothers to the Mother's Day. I said, sorry, will you pay?
Like, your cousins were like, okay, your cousins.
Your cousins were now like, oh, we're inviting our own moms to your own. I said, okay, cool, no problem. In terms of these are my account details. You're not saying, I know you're older than us. I said, I don't get it.
That's what my brothers did.
Okay, so, your mom, you don't want to appreciate her or what?
That's 1,000% what my brothers did. My brother's
mom is not around.
No, my mom is here. Okay. So I took my mom and my grandma. All of a sudden, okay, they're not saying, okay, they're not around. Let's include their moms. I said, that's all well and good. But you're paying now. Next thing, I'm hearing Airbus, I'm old. I said, sorry.
Yeah, that's what my brothers do all the time.
They're not saying, oh, can you also all get flowers, by the way? I said, yes. Excuse me.
That's what my brothers do.
So now I should get 4 flowers?
Yeah. They even have, my own thing is that they even have opinions.
Do you get?
That's my favorite part.
We chose the place and they're like, I don't really know. I said, one thing you're not going to do is not be around and then be telling me where I should spend my money.
Yeah.
When you guys are not paying. So anyway, we went for the Mother's Day lunch and like we were just having lunch and in the middle of the lunch, my grandmother just goes, hold on one second. And I have a video of this. She just brings out the brush from her bag and then just starts brushing my hair. She's like, you didn't know how to do it. And I just thought, actually, if you check my age, I've been brushing my hair for it's a good 31 years now.
You're always going but to be a kid.
I'm telling you, she just kept like, you know how like when you're doing your hair, they like just move your head in the middle of the lunch.
Sounds like mama.
Yeah.
It sounds 100%.
And then
like
when
that.
I had said happy mother's Day, she said, thank you. And, you know, hopefully you also become a mother in my lifetime. I said,
oh my gosh, I have something else.
I said, wow, in terms of telling me thank you,
I have something else that happened.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I'm into body positivity or whatever.
Okay, sure.
So, I wore like a crop top yesterday, and somebody told me happy Mother's Day, and I was not happy at all.
That's rude.
I was not happy at all.
That's rude.
I said,
you know, I wish I was there because I was laughing.
I said, first of all.
This is like when, it reminds me of when I was traveling with the baby. Yeah. I was pregnant. And like, it was in Nigeria. It was kind of weird to like ask. They want to ask.
But they can't.
But they can't. But you can tell I'm pregnant. They want to confirm. It's like, ma, are you? I had to like, yes, I am.
Yeah. No,
like,
that's always funny.
Yeah. In the US, they don't even ask you.
Yeah. My friend, introduction, her best friend was there. And so like, I could see one of our other friends being like,
she pregnant.
Like, I could see her face being like, like, you know,
trying to calculate.
So, do you know what this stupid girl did? And they brought small chops for everybody. She said, it's like, this is my opportunity. She said, maybe you should take your own first. She goes, why? She said, because you're eating for two. Wow. She was like, thank you. She said, okay, yeah, I said it. It was so funny. I was like, what is your problem?
Let me know, like, it's very dangerous.
And she said, and she started laughing because she was like, she generally doesn't mind at all, but she finds it so funny that our parents' generation does not care.
No, they will say it out loud.
They'll just shout.
Yeah.
It's like a pregnant. More our own friends are all like,
we're like cautious,
you?
Like, yes. Are you?
They're not even shy away from saying, ah, you're fat. So, which one is your pregnant? That one is nice.
I've actually seen people say that. This one that I put in on with, are you pregnant? And I'm like, this is so inappropriate that I don't even know why you should be in this conversation, but Nigerians don't care.
No.
They always start with your weights. They always start.
Yeah,
with
it's
that.
A greeting.
Like it's crazy.
And then we can go from there.
The need to comment on it. I don't think just Nigerians. That's how African
aunties
are.
A lot of people, yeah.
It's, yeah.
But it's very rude. I mean, I started doing it back.
What?
Once you ask me about my own weight, Mr. Asa asked asking you about various things, including various your weight, location of your husband, so on and so forth. No, because if you're going to come at me,
this is such bosom bodies.
Ask you so many questions. How fat this man? Did you get? So these are the things.
I wanted to, before we get into it, I wanted to ask, like, just because. Do you know, I didn't know you were Nigerian for a long time.
Oh,
yeah? I was like, maybe she's from the north.
You see, those in the north. I met her in my workstation that year.
I was like, maybe she's from the north. So I'm not sure. I'm not clear. You know, and you can't just DM somebody. Sorry, you.
Are you from the north?
The north, actually. So when I first came to Lagos, I was a lot skinnier. So a lot of people thought I was Deja. Yeah.
Stop.
Yes. I had an Uber driver that was like, Deja, please let me take a picture with you. I'm like, bro, I am not Deja. He insisted, you know, I took the selfie just so I can get out of the Uber. And even Jazzy said it all the time. So she's from the north and she's also half Sierra Leonean. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So,
I mean, I see it. I wouldn't mistake
no,
you for
it. No, you don't see it now.
I see it a lot,
cheekbones and like
that's crazy.
Before, you know.
So you moved, you decided to move to Lagos for work.
So it's a long story really. I worked in Lagos in 2015 briefly. I was interning in an energy company And that's, I was in energy back then, like oil and gas, power plants and stuff. So I don't even know how I got here. Yeah. So, and then my friend that I met then told me, you're going to move to Lagos one day. I'm like, oh, no. I enjoyed it. You know, Lagos in the summer is great. It's you know, great. You don't live it's here, you don't have time. Bills to pay, you know, so that was nice. And then in 2016, I was working for Coupanda, Coupanda Capital. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard of Coupanda, which... That's where I was at Workstation, actually. They're early investors in Maven. And that, this was 2016. So I was working on the deal side in DC. And by 2017, we were now in like proper due diligence phase. So they moved me to Lagos. So that's how I got here. That's where I was at Workstation. I was Coupanda at Workstation. Yeah. Before I then transitioned... I remember full time into the product side, which
maybe. I know. If I knew,
because nobody knew what I was working on. They just knew it was, you know, it was Coupanda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so by 2018, I now moved into the product side fully, which is I guess Maven as a product. Yeah. Oh. So yeah.
How do you now jump from like, okay, you're coming in on investor to like actual doing A&R and all that?
It's crazy. I want to sit here and like give you this nice story, but actually,
no, we prefer the gist.
No, no, but I can tell you like what sort of happened. So I would say that like I've been to different stages of the business. Mm-hmm. So like, again, investor side, the company was looking into the media space in Africa. So we landed on music.
Can we do media?
You guys were not so we actually combed through everything, did the landscaping of like the space in Africa. Mm-hmm. Music was it really, and we saw that like that's where there's a lot of value, you know. So yeah, so moved here, started working on just building it as a company before like the Maven Global transition. So, and then when I started actually from investor, I went into ops. So like looking for like real estate for Maven, hiring people. Seriously, it was like a different, but then I think I've always been creative. Like I've always loved music, loved the back end, like to do things with my hands. I love a good makeover. Sorry. I love a good makeover, which a lot of times that's what A&R is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you see something, you see that it has potential, it's a diamond in the rough, because that's what Maven does. We don't sign established artists, which is what I said. You have the youth. Too big
that
for
means I'm out of.
You guys are established artists.
Do you know what?
No,
We can argue, but do you know what? We'll let it go
with
for
my
now.
With my successful SoundCloud
sure,
career.
Jola has never SoundCloud. There's like maybe 6,000-7,000 listeners.
Please send link. I would like
never
to.
Ever. Never
yeah,
ever.
So I think I enjoy the people side of it. Yeah. I think and majorly it is that. I don't think there's any school for A&R. There's no like, oh, you just have to have good eye, good taste and good ears and are passionate about people. Mm. So then that's how, you know, and I got closer to the artist. Next thing, I was just thrown in the deep end of it. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. I remember my first 3 months, I put together like 5 shows.
Wow.
Do you remember which shows they were? So there was the Johnny's Room Live 2018. And then, so there was one in Lagos, one in Abuja. And then there was Ladipo Tap. I don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah, at Upbeat. And then there was Dr. Sid. Then there was DNA Twins. It was a different era back then. But yeah, it was. And then there was one more. That was a house party. I think that was the easiest of them all. And I was like, what? I went home and I was like, what have I gotten myself into? But, you know, I'm still here, so.
You are. And you seem to be enjoying it. Yes. And doing very well.
Thank you.
Like before we started, we were joking that since you left, the few people I know in Maven, they are not coping.
They're
actually not coping. So I was talking to Jennifer, she said they are not coping.
Yeah, I mean, it's always Grace, because I think that's the thing. I was watching a podcast this morning, you know, Grace Beverly, and she was talking to this lady who works in, it was about building a corporate career, and talking about like one of the amazing things about being a leader and having to like invest in your team and grow your team and like help them with understanding like responsibility levels. But what I found with Nigeria is that it's really, really hard because people are afraid that if they don't do things exactly like you, then they've done it wrong.
Sure.
So they're very anxious about like if I don't do things exactly the way this person would do it, even if we get to the same end result, I've done something wrong. So there's a lot of hand-holding that can be frustrating because you want them to figure out their own style. Like, do you know the thing is that you actually know how to do this thing? You don't need me to immediately... You don't need me to tell you immediately, like, ah, no, you're doing well. Just keep going. You're doing well.
That, or like, you don't need my permission every single decision. Yeah, yeah. Like, I've said, do something. Yeah. And what happens is maybe you say, okay, take this cup over there. People are not like, okay, do you mind if I go this way or go? And I'm like, I just want the cup to be there.
Yeah, be proactive.
Anywhere you want to get there, I don't even mind. As long as the cup is there, you've not cost me any money. Between you and the cup, any other thing you want to. But a lot of people are like, and I think it's also because of like certain cultures. Maybe
it's our education system, I think. Because you have to cram, right? You have to cram. So that's already doing it the way the textbook is doing it. Or the way your teacher said.
Yeah.
And you can't just write from your understanding, which then leaves you with, you don't have initiative as much, or like you can't really just do it differently.
Do you know, this reminds me of, I remember when, obviously much, much younger, and it was a noun is the name of a person, animal, place, or thing. I remember somebody saying a noun, now animal. So I said no, because he didn't start with
person.
A way we taught it to, they taught us. So you just say it like that. Don't say it any other way. You forget. If you start with person, you forget. Just the way they just did it like that. And that's how all of us are just like, now the name of a person, animal, place, or thing. Like, that's how you learn. And I imagine that if you just take that.
I know this thing so well.
So well. Things that I remember that I'm like, why do I remember this in the order?
Because you have to just give it to them the way they gave it to you. Once you start trying to understand someone, they're like,
It's like when you go to a restaurant and then you tell the waiter, instead of sausage, can I have bacon? And then it's a whole thing. No, it comes with
they have
the
to
sausage.
Ask,
okay,
like,
I don't want the sausage,
I'm
but
not
I'm
sure if
bring
I can
the
change
sausage.
And I'm like, okay, but physically, if we think about the cooking, how can you not bring, it's just another side. So explain to me how they can do it.
I think maybe you're right. I find that that is something generally, like getting people to understand that they can take ownership of a process is really hard
and it's long.
Say that, would it be different? Like, obviously music is a crazy space. Obviously, and at the back end, you still have to be organized and all those things. But is it different, you know, giving someone, you know, delegating responsibility in that way, because there's also like creativity involved?
So there's, in a sense, I think there's so many different compartments in A&R, right? So where in the studio, you know, there's a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
So I think that it comes naturally, you know, they put sessions together, think of features, all of that stuff, production. But the amount of project management that goes into it is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a fast-paced environment. Deadlines are so important. Imagine like a song goes out before it was planned, or like it leaked, or there's just one little open space that, you know, so it definitely is still, you have to run a very tight
project management.
Yeah, for sure. That's first and foremost. Because I see a lot of like young people, I'm an A&R. It's great. I think they think of the fun side. There's a fun side, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of discipline and it's 24/7, honestly.
Yeah. So how was it like leaving?
Ah, man, it wasn't easy. I told you I worked the day I had the baby. Literally, like, they had to pry my phone away from me. Last year, I think I remember I was at the hospital at some point during the pregnancy and I was on my laptop, literally with one hand like this. And like, I had an artist come recording in my hospital room. I'm telling you.
I don't understand.
Yes, because my husband is an engineer as well. So like, he just rolls with me.
Like, let's just do it.
Yeah, I'm like, you need to take her vocals because we need
and
to.
And nobody wants your blood pressure to go up.
Set up in the room for me. But it taught me a lot. I mean, nobody died, you know. Nobody died. I think it helped some people, you know, step up a lot more. And I think it's good because for me, I think sometimes I have trust issues at work, and I think it's also from experience. You're like, you leave it and then you, every little thing tells on the final product.
It
down to the tiny strand on the artist's hair, it will tell on the final product. It will be the reason why that entire scene is
of
it's bad, and then you spent money, and these things are expensive, right? So there's that. But then, like, I think that it just helped me just let go a bit, and I think I was able to see people really step up, even though, you know, you're saying this, but I think they managed it. They managed, so yeah.
As you guys know, for Women's History Month, The Bounce is proudly sponsored by a number of fantastic small businesses by women within our community.
Yes, and today we have Fudge.ng, which is the newest and the greatest dessert business in town. They make the best and most indulgent sweet treats you can find.
So each of their treats are handcrafted. They make them by hand. Each and every one is made by a person, not just one random machine somewhere. The ingredients they use are really fresh and fantastic to make sure that you enjoy every single bite. So what do you love?
They have a bunch of things. My personal favorite is the white chocolate chip cookies, but they also have tiramisu. They have a bunch of flavors of cinnamon rolls.
They have bread and butter pudding. They have some.
Ooh, they have donuts.
They have donuts. They have donuts. Pretty fantastic stuff. So head over to their Instagram page at fudge.ng to order some beautiful treats for you and your family.
Enjoy.
Okay. So I think, like, before we get the questions, I want to ask one more thing and then we'll get some questions and continue. When you realized, because you started in, like, it's a lot more, at the time, it was a lot more prestigious to be like, oh, I work in Panda Capital.
Yeah,
I work in investment banking.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the African media landscape.
Yeah.
You can't just be telling stories.
Like, there was a time we're saying, okay, we're investing in Maven was the thing. Whereas now, I feel like saying, actually, I work in Maven is more
the thing.
Everybody's like, can I blow in Panda?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, like, just on a personal, like a trajectory level, because... Right. It wasn't that you wanted to work in music. That wasn't your plan at all.
Mm-mm.
And designing a career, because everybody talks about, like, career strategy now. Like, there's a whole thing, like, from once you graduate, you just have a plan.
You just have to design
career
you want.
Your five-year plan.
Yes.
You have people think that, like, when you now do the five-year plan, then the 5 years will answer you.
Yes.
I was asking about, like, openness to... Being like, okay, like, yes, we're working on this project, but to what degree am I invested in and working? Because it's one thing, like you said, operations are one thing. Being like, okay, we need to find real estate, we need to make these hires, we need to... But then getting deeply invested in the creative parts mm-hmm. and being open to it. Because one thing I used to do, no longer, this was when I was much younger, I used to get very offended at what people called opportunities to grow. That's what it was. But all it was to me was, this is not my job.
Yeah.
Like, quite frankly.
Stepping stones.
I remember there's a time I used to be very, very like, but this is not my job. Like, I remember I used to say it and think it all the time, because I never saw it as opportunity to grow. I saw it as, this
just asking
is
me
not
to do
my
extra
work.
Things.
You're asking me to do more things that are not my thing. And now there's greater room to fail. You keep saying it as opportunity to grow, but what I'm saying are very deep and shameful opportunities to fail. And I wanted to ask you.
Wow.
No, that's how it's like a perspective thing, honestly. But that's how I used to feel. I used to get very annoyed. They'd be like, oh, Jola can't. What Jola can't do is not this. And I wanted to ask you about that, because it's one thing to do the things you have, like, a strong skill set in.
Right.
It's another thing to, in a very fast-moving world, pick up skills and start running with them and have your opinions carry weight in creative spaces that, quite frankly, this is not what I know. So they're asking you about album art, and you have to be confident and say, actually, I don't think this, but inside you're like...
What do I know about it?
What do I know about this? I wanted to ask you about, like, that.
Like, your first album, you must have been thinking, okay, this is my position, this is my project. But at the same time, was it like in your mind, you're like, that's how it's now come out.
You know what? That's every stage of life.
Yeah.
Even when I started at Kupanda, I was like, oh my God, everybody here has degrees miles ahead of me. What am I doing here? You know, but then I think, I've been used to being thrown in deep end, to be honest. When I left high school, not to go all the way back, all my friends went to university. I chose to go to South Africa to go and do another extra 2 years of high school. But to be honest, I kind of felt, okay, if I went there, I'll be able to go to a better university.
Yeah,
okay. So I, like, took two steps back so that I could, like, leap forward, if that makes sense. That, this all sounds very, like...
No, but when you're younger, that's a very big...
That's not, like, huge. Like, when you're younger,
that's a very big deal.
To have that kind of perspective.
All my friends are like, oh, wow, you're going to be left behind. So I went to ALA. Actually, if you guys... So it's
my sister went.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my best friend did as well.
Awesome. You guys, anyways, I like this. I feel...
When you're saying it, I was like, don't worry, they've done, they started doing it after you.
Yeah, so I was like the third class. It was really early on. So people were like, what, you're going to high school again? And like, but then you know what? I was like, what's education here? Like, I don't think that I want to go to any of these colleges. So that's what I did. And it was new. It was new territory. I never left my country. Well, I never left for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then even going to Kupanda as well, it was literally, I tell you, everybody else felt so like senior. And I was like the only associate really. So it was kind of like intimidating, very intimidating. But I think in life, even when I moved to Lagos, this place is intimidating. Let's just be real. I didn't know what like service charge was, whether it was service or not service furnished. My first apartment, it was a disaster. But it was intimidating, I can't lie. I remember Imalam like telling me he has like my type at home. It was a whole thing for me. But you know, I think in life generally, it's not I don't think what you study is so much, you forget all the equations, you forget all the Excel formulas and stuff, but applicable skills, I think, is what's helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Like in everything, I think if you're passionate, you love what you're doing. I guess that's the thing. And I'll come to how I found out I loved what I was doing. You love what you're doing. You have some form of discipline and you're a self-starter.
Mm.
Just, you know, you feel like, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this on.
Yeah.
And like, I'm open-minded because I've just seen the trajectory of how life has just been. I think that's what helped me. When I remember Jazzy and my boss at Kupanda said, you know, we had a discussion. We feel like, you know, you should be the A&R director. Mind you, we're trying to hire for that role. I was like, wait, what? Are you like, what?
Like, I'm trying to find somebody else.
You know, so it was really like mind-blowing to me. I think they saw some things that I didn't see at the time. I think for one thing, I remember clearly Jazzy said to me was that it's really an empathy role. It's about empathy, it's about compassion, it's about if you love people and you're passionate about people and want, you know, to make a difference. I think that's what he kind of saw in me, I guess.
Yeah.
So when I started doing it, I realized I really like being outside. Like, I don't think I love the sitting down on a desk.
Yeah, in the office, that sort of
thing. Yeah, and looking at spreadsheets all day, probably not seeing the final impact of what you're doing. But with this, there's that fulfillment. You kind of see the final project. You see this little seed turn into this gigantic thing that is even beyond. I mean, I look at Ira and I'm like, oh my God, like she doesn't belong, like she belongs to the world now. Mm-hmm. There's no better feeling, honestly, in your career.
You can actually see your artists like growing and like things are just happening and moving forward. That's a bit crazy.
Yeah. So
now, I love that because that's like a career trajectory you can't map out.
No.
You actually can't.
It's hard to map out life.
You have to
like
be
that,
in one thing for the other thing to like happen, for the other thing to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So before we come back to talking about that, we have some people send us a lot of things. Let me know. Like,
yeah, dilemmas.
Send us a lot of personal problems, which we do our best to help them. Not really. Most of the time, we don't actually help them, which begs the question why they keep sending it. But it's a great time. So we're going to give you some to.
Okay, so let me read the first one.
Okay.
This person called themselves Ozoemena. I know I didn't get that pronunciation right. But this says, well done, my president. I absolutely love you guys. So here goes my dilemma, or rather a rant. I introduced my friend to an older friend who needed the staff at his office, even though I knew in my heart of hearts it was for me. It was me he wanted to work with. And I definitely wouldn't work for him because of conflict of interest reasons. In brackets, yes, it's what you guessed. My friend now earns like 2 times my salary, which is not a problem because she needs it more. But my problem is this girl never appreciated me for the link up. I never heard a thank you or anything because I guarantee she probably would never have met him or seen the advert for this role. I feel deeply unappreciated and I know I wouldn't be introducing any other person in the near future. But we used to be really close prior to this, but this just did me and I can't lie. So the person is very upset. Do you know what I think?
What?
From a bad mind perspective.
Which other perspective do we normally have?
I'm like, how? Very empathetic.
Normally. But it is.
Wow. But it is, no, let me tell you what it is. Do you know what I think it is? Like, everything, this person is saying the opposite of everything they feel.
Yeah.
They're not yet being honest. They are not yet being honest about how annoyed they are.
And irritated they are.
That pay that she mentions, like, that's not the issue.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yes. So I'm sure she's thinking, why did I sleep with this man, for God's sake? Now I can't work with him.
Lord.
Like, what is happening here? Now there's work involved. I can't take the job. And then the person you introduce you to is not, you know, like, there's a way somebody is graceful that makes you now feel like,
at least nothing. I just did it. No.
There's not somebody who'll be so like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You say, it's okay. No, it's not. Okay, it's God. It's not me. And the person is just like,
You know, when people keep saying thank you, they're like, no, you don't even have to say thank you again. It's just, you know, how I am. All of a sudden, this is now I'm no longer her personality.
No, I think she's very upset at the fact that this person has a life she imagined for herself. Yeah. So it's like a job she's qualified for. She knows the person would ideally have liked to work with her. Her own personal conviction told her it's not right to kind of mix like business and pleasure, and now she's giving it the opportunity to somebody who is acting like it's their due. Now imagine the person really does feel like, you didn't give the person all the shalai. You just said there's a job role.
You didn't give the context of actually I wanted this job, but you know,
this one, that
things
one,
things happened, yeah, and we fell into
another thing. Yeah.
Therefore, conflict of interest, we can't, you know, be working together. And so I really wanted this job. I'm giving, you have to lay it out for people. Maybe they're not that close.
No, I think
she said they used to be really close before this.
You said, yeah, but this thing, and
but
I'm sure in her mind,
him,
yes, I'm sure in her mind,
tell
it's a
him
thing,
or her.
I'm sure in her mind, it's a thing where, like, well, your kind of friendship changes because you just don't want to hear from the person because the entire thing is irritating you, is annoying you. It's just so annoying. You're not going to message
every time
the person.
You see them, you're just like, oh.
She didn't even say thank you. And it's just
like, she didn't say thank you at all.
Yeah,
or she just
said, what she said here is, she didn't appreciate her. She never had a thank you or anything. That's really upsetting to her.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I have lots of people that I've introduced for different things, and I don't care. The only time I've cared is maybe I find out by mistake there was something I didn't know inside the work.
Yeah. So to be fair, I think the girl should have said just thank you in general.
Yes,
like,
of course.
If I recommend you get a job and we're friends, I don't need you to like grovel or anything. Just say like, oh, I got the job. Well, thank you.
Well,
you know,
you know something I've learned in this life? Waiting for thank you is exhausting.
I'm telling you.
It's really exhausting. You have to think about yourself. Okay, am I okay doing this? Can I live without your gratitude? If you can't, then do it. Because living for that is hard. A lot of people are not going to express gratitude in the way that you want. Even if the girl had said, oh, thank you, should have thought maybe that
it's
thank
so
you.
Casual. Casual.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity she gave her. And people see things differently. That girl might just thinking, oh, this is my friend. She recommended me, like, you know, like,
she might even have given testimony in church that God just used somebody.
And also, for some people, like, okay, we're friends, it's a given that, like, you're going to do. I don't have to go out of my way. For that girl, she doesn't know that he's seething in her, that she's dying there. And I'm sure she definitely did not tell the friend that she slept with
Or you just say maybe slightly how she feels anyway, because I'm sure that friend is now probably even confused.
This girl
like,
is a
this thing,
and will probably overthink it in a weird way. Because this is a very interesting, if you're friends and you're qualified for the same thing and the same role, you both are aware. So if after the recommendation and the job role, you start acting some kind of way, she has put two and two together.
There's something wrong.
And guess what she's going to do? She's going to talk to another friend because she's jealous of you.
Yeah.
And that's going to be that.
I don't know, but they're definitely, it doesn't sound like they're going to, unless this babe does, it doesn't sound like in their current situation, someone is going to say, listen, should we not just like have a quick chat about this? Me, I'm always saying, see, you have to be a big babe. You have to be, you're friends. You need to sit down. Yeah, the conversation is uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. But you need to unless you don't care about the friendship. You kind of need to sit down and be like, look, I'm feeling a bit resentful. I couldn't take the job and you didn't say thank you to me. It might even be one of those things where, you know, sometimes you don't realize that you've done a thing.
I'm actually on, like, I now feel bad for the friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then don't introduce me to
I feel bad for the friend because it's kind of like, okay, now you've said I should take it. All of a sudden,
you are not
an issue.
It's like friends who say, oh, no, I don't like the guy.
Yeah,
we're just friends.
Oh,
They can't go to your wedding. They cannot. I need to stay away from the relationship because
I'm just like, please, next time, open your mouth and talk. You like him. But people do this a lot where like they have a friend that they kind of like, but maybe because they've been friend,
but they're friend zone.
Yeah, the opportunity hasn't opened up. You now introduce your bosom best friend.
Is that to somebody kind of diabolical,
else?
I feel
it's very diabolical.
No, it's not diabolical.
You introduce someone else to your bosom best friend.
What is
those girls will not fall in love, as you suggested they do.
Yeah, and then
you told them, "Hey, you guys should get together." Be all of a sudden they're in love now. Now you're feeling a type of way. Okay, what should we do?
What exactly
should we do?
Yeah, I think she should say something. But more importantly, like opportunities are rare, but they are not completely absent, right?
So. Yeah.
Now you know what is possible. Like now you know that somebody is willing to pay you double of what you for what you can do. You can go back to say Mr. A and say, "I'm looking for a different
Please,
work.
I want you guys, I want us to stop it. Is this man that she wants to work with? I don't know why. Like, is
do
this,
you think so?
Yes, it's this opportunity she wants. It's not the opportunity
in general.
It's this opportunity.
That's another.
But she removed the opportunity from herself. Who sent you? You guys could easily have not done that. Then you not have not any conflict. So you've chosen. You get.
I know I started this whole thing with that, but
you wanted something else with him and you chose. Then you not brought your friend in innocently.
Yeah.
She's taking the job. All of a sudden she's not in trouble.
Yeah, no.
Please. And then look, I think it's on this baby that wrote to say something.
Say something. No, 100%.
I honestly think the friend
say something
is like,
or let it go.
Yeah.
I would say let it go. Like just
stop behaving somehow is what I would say.
Yeah. Also, like are you still seeing the guy? So you now are hearing about like work successes that you are not about. No, I'm being serious. No, like there's other stuff too. Where you can't talk
men
out.
Are also so extremely she, no, so she can't, crazy.
No, because no, she's not crazy. Let me tell you something.
Is.
I created an opportunity for us to do love and work together.
No, but he is.
No, he's crazy.
No, he's crazy now.
I created an opportunity. Wait, I want you guys to think of something. First of all, let's agree that she's married, she can't say it. Men sometimes they're not too bright when it comes to they might read something and now it's just like, oh, you said because they'll be like, but you're the one that said,
you know
that
the hill is going to die on. But you said that
thank you.
I should recommend her. Whereas if it was my friend and their baby, I'll tell them that don't hire, better go on LinkedIn and find somebody to hire. You want to not hire her friend? I'd have advised him against it, but you see, and then this is what happens when you're the cool babe. When you're the cool babe, that everything is fine, like you don't want to cause trouble, you don't want to rock the boat.
Don't be.
Rock the boat at all times.
Don't be
the cool babe because the sea finish involved.
Yeah, I just feel like she should have, because now maybe it's the cool babe thing. So now she
it's
can't
the cool
say,
babe thing.
When he's talking, she can't say, shut up. Shut up about your stupid work. I don't care. Shut up. I don't care. She can't say that.
And you know the thing, he's probably even like, oh, thank you for recommending her. She's so good.
At it. Do you know, in fact, I don't even think, thank you. Maybe this is what should have happened anyway. And that she's just boiling. Now, you are a fool. She's a fool. This company is foolish and it will burn to the ground. You can't say anything. You just have to be looking. Yeah, I really do think she should say the thing to her friend. So that one can be like, ah, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was like that. Now, Youssef, why didn't you say? And there's something that actually, there's a release that sometimes comes with praying the feelings to be and just saying how you feel.
Honestly,
and
sometimes
letting it
it's
go.
Key. Like, I remember, was it last year? There was, if this is even very silly, there was someone's wedding and we're all like, oh, we're going. And then it turned out I could not go. And so me and my friend were now talking about it. And she was talking about the hotel. She now said, yeah, I know it. I said, let me not lie to you. This thing you're discussing with me, highly irritated. Your outfit, who gives it? She's not showing me the picture of her outfit. I said, who gives a damn? Anyway, so we spoke about it and I was like, I mean, I want to hear about it, but like, when you're telling me, act as if you're not having that much fun. So she messaged me on the wedding day. The food is not even nice. Meanwhile, I saw her Instagram story. She was having the time of her life. When I replied, she was like, "I'm not lying to you. I'm pretending here. The food is not." You know, but I think like that's even a silly example. But I feel like you just have to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm highly resentful of this.
Right.
But, you know, good on you and well done. And I just feel like that's the whole, if you're going to be friends, what else is the point?
Mm.
Anyway, so
and now you've left it for a while, so it seems more somehow.
I'm telling you.
So yeah. Like it's you, you're so the problem. About the
yeah.
whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the problem. Yeah, definitely the problem. If you're asking who is the problem, it's you.
Okay. Up next, we have a friend indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Who says, hi ladies, I love the podcast. This one is for a friend of mine that loves your show and never misses an episode. I hope I'm not breaking confidence. You are.
You are.
You most definitely are.
You've definitely broken the confidence already, but you know.
Let's keep going. Fine. I hope I'm not breaking confidence, but I think she needs to hear from someone else. She's married to a man, codename Y, who left Nigeria 5 years ago.
I'm sorry, codename Y is hilarious.
They have two boys and a girl, and their children are literally the cutest. All her kids are between the ages of 5 and 10. I had, long story short, over New Year's, I found out Y has a secret UK family with a wealthy white lady who has two children okay. for him.
Ah.
I had to tell my friend, and it was a really difficult conversation. Now, where do we go from here? I tried to convince her that maybe she should quietly divorce him. She can make up a medical emergency, get enough money to take care of her kids and start a business to do it on her own. She doesn't have to make a fuss about it as he only comes to Nigeria about once a year. She's determined to stay in the marriage and she keeps saying marriage is a sacred union. Please help me tell her a man that can do this kind of thing can never be trusted.
Mm, okay, we should help you tell her.
Mm.
That you should do what?
They said we should tell her to leave the man.
But wait, I think maybe I missed that part. She's aware that the man has a secret mm-hmm. family.
She told her friend.
She told her friend that marriage is sacred.
But then the man has a secret family in the UK.
Yeah.
Does the man know she knows?
No.
He doesn't yet know she knows.
But she just wants to keep it like she
the
doesn't
way it
know.
Is.
Yes.
She just wants to rock the boat.
Mm. She just doesn't want to get divorced. Her friend doesn't want to get divorced. The thing is, who did he marry first?
Her?
Because no, I'm asking because
if, her.
Like the friend in Nigeria,
yeah.
the woman in Nigeria.
We don't know though.
We don't know.
We don't know because that's what I'm asking.
Because really, not
yes.
them.
But does it matter?
Bigamy.
It doesn't matter.
Of course, it matters.
It's all terrible.
Because first of all, she said marriage is a sacred union. Is your marriage even a marriage? Why are you people just?
That's true. Because
that's
if
what
married,
I'm saying. Like if you was married before, if you married her before, if you
married
that marriage
the woman
is not
in England first. You actually don't have a marriage.
You don't have a marriage.
But also, that's not even just infidelity. It's beyond.
Yes.
So you have all... It's no longer sacred.
It's like you said, it's actually diabolical.
It don't cast at that point.
Do you know what it is?
It has casted.
It has casted.
Do you know what the problem
so,
is?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you're angry on behalf of your friend. And so you had it. You had... She had a reaction in her mind that her friend is going to be like, eh? She would do that to me.
Just
nonsense.
Imagine,
and she's going to, she told her in January, guys, by the way, this woman just found out this thing. She has kids between the ages of 5 and 10. So that means she's been with this man for over a decade, right? Everybody has an imagination of how the average woman, like, this is my friend. I know her now.
Take rubbish.
She won't take rubbish. She's just going to say no. She's going to stand up. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. It's not like that, though.
It's not like that.
So half of your job.
She should be careful how much you are.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Half of your job is to be almost mirror-like. It's not for you to tell her what to do. It is always what do you want to do. You can now say, I don't know about this thing, no, but if that's what you want to do, we move.
Yeah,
that's
be
that's
honest,
your job.
But be supportive.
Be like, oh, man, this thing doesn't
way,
make sense.
Even though, like...
He's coming once
I
week.
Mean...
No,
because sometimes you have to support certain
you
decisions.
You have to support,
I don't know
but
how
like,
well
if it's me, I'll make it clear
like,
that... See, I support you in
whatever you
but
decide.
But this is rubbish.
Of course,
yeah.
that's
nonsense.
That you can't say it's rubbish.
What
nonsense.
You are doing, rubbish. What's, but
we don't know her attitude. Maybe she gets a sense of self from being Mrs. X. We don't know like what her.
Which is a
she
problem.
Doesn't know that she's Mrs. Junior.
Do you know the for the life of me,
you,
you know how I feel about long distance marriages. If I see you once a year, you are
crazy.
My pen pal.
I think it's crazy.
You are not my husband. You are a pen pal.
Why do you agree to that?
Is life
why
like?
Do I agree to that?
Life.
You know how messed up that is for the kids.
Thank
like,
you.
What do you mean he's coming once a year?
So you don't know she's
an arrangement.
She feels like she's held. She's
like, so, just stop by.
She's already convinced herself that this once a year is enough. You know. You found giving her more information and you want to take that one away from her.
How did she find out?
Thank you. She did not write that part too about how she found out this. Found this information. But I understand. My whole thing is that like you can't like parents always say, you can't climb more than the bereaved.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can't.
No, you can't.
Because what you're going to do is that the anger, the self-righteousness, she actually doesn't have the courage to take out on her husband. You mm-hmm. are going to make yourself the willing scapegoat.
Yeah.
By talking too much and doing too much.
Yeah. So if you push her further than she's willing to go on,
you are going to be the.
It will now almost be like, "What's your own problem?"
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even though, like, we can all agree that that's...
This is crazy. Nonsense. This is actually insane. Anyway,
the reason she wrote here is she says she listens to podcasts. So she knows. Sis, do you know you already...
I also think...
Left to me.
Yeah.
Left to me. You are already... If you're already getting the shorter end of every stick, do you, what is left to your marriage again?
There's nothing.
So I feel like, I don't know what you're holding on to, but it's not there.
Yeah.
It's, I think a lot of, you said something very key about like finding your sense of self.
I say key things a lot.
Yes.
Honestly.
No, but it's like you find a sense of self by being Mrs. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of women, sadly, in this part of the world because of just the pressure. And when Maria, there's this thing I saw, I think it was Olive that interviewed this man that I was so angry for days. This man that was saying that if a woman's marriage ends, her fault.
Yeah.
If they beat her, it's her fault. If anybody dies, it's her fault. So yeah. It was very hard to hear because he's representing a lot of.
Yeah, and some people are not that extreme. Yes. But the line of thought is the same.
Well, you know, the subtle ones actually worse. Yes. It's easier to fight a man like that.
It's easier to fight someone that comes out and
says. Yeah, it's the one that is not very systemic is what we're living in today. It's not outright.
But it's like here and there. Like it's in little. And then a lot of people who you think are progressive, maybe for like, oh, they're exposed or they, you know, went some sort of schooling. It's always surprising when it comes out.
Do you know what this thing you said is?
Ever be deceived by the schooling.
Hey, when it comes out, you can't become even a corporate jerk.
It's not about it at all.
They don't teach them anything.
Upbringing is where it starts.
And it will shock you what people even latently have in their minds.
Yeah.
So someone might not say, you hear, this woman is going to get other advice. So there's you saying this. Then there's somebody that's going to tell her that, well, it's Kukuma only coming once a year before. So,
just manage it. Some people are going to tell her, just manage it like that. They're like, what difference is it making?
Somebody will say, what if he gets angry and stops supporting you financially?
Oh, there's that as well. So there's dependency as well. She's probably thinking, if I vex the way I should,
I should go. I leave this man, my kids, one pound is 2,000 and something naira.
I should go.
Yeah, he probably is already paying. And maybe, you know what? Some of these women also have their own arrangement.
That's the truth. I'm sure she does. I want us to be serious.
Once a year.
If my husband is coming once a year, him too, he knows.
Let's just ask each other any questions.
Let's just know that. Nobody should say anything. Let's just know that. Okay, you think I'm the fool? No problem.
Yeah.
So it's just probably a financial thing as well where he's probably paying her bills. I'll still tell her, if she wants us to say it, we'll find money. Please, let's free this thing.
Yeah, I hate disgrace so much. More intensely for me is that somebody that can deceive
someone that can deceive this you in level this of manner, deception. They can't kill now.
It's crazy to me.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, definitely.
This level of deception.
Anything from somebody who is like actively in two families.
Yeah, the man has good money.
And your family is the one that is part-time, mind you.
You guys, the amount of times I hear this story.
Oh, no, that is
really about men plenty. Having two families. Not it's just plenty. Two wives or two girls.
Whole families. Yes. The thing is,
what is going on
here? This
guy's
own is even because he's just coming to Nigeria once a month. There are people, as in, they're actively running
multiple families. Yeah.
What is going on? Is it that I have so much money? It's like fighting me. I need somewhere to put it.
I saw a thing on TikTok where they don't expense any mental capacity.
I don't think they're emotionally available. They're not mentally available. Their money is what they use.
Yeah,
I saw a girl on TikTok who said she went to check to see if her father had a second family to find out that they had a second family.
So sorry.
So she was just like, yeah, so where do we go?
From here.
Like, you know, when you are... And it was a joke. It was like a hee-hee-hee-ha-ha-ha thing. Only to find out that they are actually the second family.
That's crazy.
Because he travels a lot for work. And she found out that they are the second family.
Yeah, there's a kind of pattern of traveling that you're like, okay.
It's just so... You have...
Yeah.
There's something happening.
Let me tell you what my father said. Anybody that they tell you that their work needs them to travel on important holidays, go and check what's going on. Like, the work needs...
On important holidays.
Yeah, important holidays. It's just like... You know, very important holidays. They must be there.
You have to check.
And they're working like finance. You're like, What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I mean, you're not a doctor.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
What is Christmas Day? Who needs you?
On Christmas.
Yeah, so he was like, when you say, and then you know, I have to look at how successful are they truly. In line with our Big Babes in Business promo for Women's History Month, this fantastic episode is brought to you by Beauty Hut Africa.
Yes, Beauty Hut is one of Nigeria's most popular and most trusted beauty retailers, selling everything from your skincare to your makeup to your fragrances and all the different beauty products that you need.
Yeah, I've shopped there a few times. I've gotten some makeup, I've gotten some skincare, and because they are fantabulous, fantastic people for the, I said what I said, girlies and boys, because everybody needs to look good.
Yes.
There is a special discount code for the month of March. If you use ISWIS when you're about to order, you get 10% off.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. So, you know, get your things in, and, you know, it's always good. There's a lot of fakes out there, to know where you're buying your products from, especially skincare and makeup, which are super important. So, you know, get it at Beauty Hub with our discount.
Exactly. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of the episode.
Like, yeah, when you say,
there's a level of success that you can be like, okay, this makes sense. But it's like, bro, this man is angry.
Your middle man is
there's a type of grocery bill your mother will bring that this man is very angry. But, you know, his job will collapse if he doesn't travel
on Christmas.
On Christmas Day, he can't be around for New Year. Easter is not around. No, Ramadan, zero. Everything he travels. So you have to check now. Man. Okay,
life
so
is hard.
What is going on here? Yeah, I think she knows. All the stuff you're saying, she knows. My main thing is, don't allow yourself to become a scapegoat for emotions she can't expend elsewhere because you are doing too much.
Yeah.
You can encourage her to do the right thing. You can be like, look, I don't think this is good for your, like, mental health. I don't think it's good for your, I don't, your daughter shouldn't grow up to realize that you thought this was what you deserved. Like, you can, there's lots of ways you can explain to her what to do, but not to the point that it now comes off as you are, like, out and out calling her, like, foolish or stupid, or, you know, you just have to be, also realize that some of this stuff takes time. You told her in January. Maybe she was even feeling like she's been long suffering and patient, and there's some reward at the
maybe
end of
like
this.
Like, she's taking a job. And
yes, and there's some reward. Like, don't you know what? They've been together for just over a decade. Maybe she's been telling herself, by the time we get to like the 15-year mark, I'm going to tell him that, you know, the children are now older. We can manage financially. Let's, only for you to come and spring this up. And she's like, oh, wow. So she lets her process and just be very encouraging, but not to the point where you want to superimpose exactly what you would do on her. It's not going to work. Okay, final one. I like this one. It's a love question. Making me, it's not, okay, it's not funny. Sorry. Empathetic. Yeah. it's from confused ex-lover who says, hello, FK and Jola. How are you guys? I'm sure she greeted you too. Don't worry. I love, love, love you guys. Okay, so my dilemma. My ex and I broke up 7 years ago and I've been unable to move on from him. We dated for 3 years. We dated for almost 3 years. We dated for almost 3 years before we broke up. I've met other people, but it just doesn't feel the same. I've been unable to get into a relationship because I find myself comparing other guys to him. A part of me feels like I'm holding on to a memory, and a part of me also wants to message him to see if we can get back together to work things out. I mean, we were both young when it ended, and I won't lie, my behavior was so annoying sometimes. I was 23 when it ended, and now I'm 29. I know I've grown, but I'm scared that if I do reach out, I might get Ella, and wallahi, I can die. I don't know if he's dating anybody, but I do know he's not married. Meanwhile, none of my friends know I feel this way. They all think I've moved on. In bracket, I kind of think I have because I've never spoken about it. Meanwhile, I still dream about him. What should I do, guys? Should I try to reach out?
You know the thing. The reason I'm going to tell you to reach out is because I hope that it gives you that Ella so that we can
actually move on.
Because you know what bondage is? 7 years.
Seven. That's scary.
I worked for
Jacob. That was bonding. He now works for another 7 years because they gave him the wrong one.
Honestly,
he still took.
I'm telling you, honestly, it's giving biblical.
It is.
It's giving biblical. You want, as in affliction, must rise.
You know
again.
What?
Do you know the second time?
Do you know what
you?
Needs to happen? Actually, we're saying rubbish. Her mother needs to find out.
No,
that is all that needs to happen.
No, she must message this man.
So you tell me, imagine your mom finding out the reason you're not dating at 29 is that you've been dreaming of a man for 7 years.
Yes. So that basically she was 22 when they broke
up. When they were going out, and then now she's I promise you.
No, they broke up 7 years ago.
So they haven't been together. But what she's saying is that now what she's been thinking about, the reason why nothing has worked out for in these 7 years is that very
She compares them to now.
Her behavior was so annoying at 23.
Wow.
So it's her fault.
I hope he says you're still like this. When you mentioned, so you're still irritating like this. That was what you should say to her.
I don't want to say as in you.
What is the man doing right now? Like,
and she said she doesn't know, but that he's not married.
He's not married.
Which doesn't mean.
Okay, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, Lord.
I say, let her mother. Do you know? I'm just trying to imagine my mother finding out. That okay.
No, she wouldn't tell her mom that.
Because you know how irritated.
That's what I'm saying. So, it is a spiritual issue. My mom will not accept that it's anything less than a spiritual problem. My mom will say, Jenna, are you telling me that you, for 7 years, you've been in this house dreaming of another
man? Of Casper the Friendly Ghost. What the hell?
That's what
she
did.
Something. There's a way, and if she had told her friends, we wouldn't have gotten to this point.
No, you know why? Because this is a thing, you know, it's not even a hot take. It happens normally, but I'm so convinced that, like, especially babes, that there's a thing we do where, like, the way we romanticize certain relationships that have gone past, sometimes people around you are just like, this very one.
That one that I witnessed.
That one that I saw, that you were complaining of. Is that the same guy? And sometimes it's maybe if, like, it's in part you're thinking back at it. You know, sometimes maybe you break up with someone and you're not sure. You start, like, the highlight reel starts playing. And you start, you know, you're in love with, like, the idea of the person that you thought they were, but you've forgotten. Or you have forgotten.
Or you've convinced yourself.
Yes. Yeah. There's also things that your friends that you don't see. That's why you need friends like Omono that will just hiss. There's a type of hiss. No, Omono will hiss.
So when she says it,
so when she has hiss, you can't even continue. You know, say something like, I remember
she was, we saw somebody, and then I'm gonna just say, I used to talk to that person. I didn't know. She said, thank God, though, because sis, I didn't know how to tell you, that was serious bondage.
Oh my God,
I said, this bitch.
No,
I was just looking at you, like, what the hell are you doing?
No, I think there's a, like you said about, like, romanticizing certain relationships. There's also this attitude that I think a lot more women need to. They say they adopt, but they don't. You have to believe you're the shit.
You do.
Yeah. There's a way you move it's when hard. You believe you're the shit.
Yeah.
This is not Star's behavior. I can tell you that for a Fendi fact.
No, because she's seen him as the one that got away.
Yeah.
And she has convinced herself that it was her fault that they broke up. So she needs to go back and, like, show him why she's worthy of being.
Do you know what? I right. Let her go back.
No, if she even reaches out, what will she write there? No, I'm actually very sure because sometimes I like to dream about you
every day.
Sometimes I like to move on a practical level.
Are you single?
Are there ways she can reach out to him that will not
don't seem crazy?
Deep embarrassment.
Look at the embarrassment.
And hurt. He might just be so.
Do you know how crazy?
Okay, will she faint because he might not reply? You guys, we must think about her health.
Also, you know how I've heard about, like, situations like this where, like, you date years down the line.
You get back
and you get married and you're meant to be, So I've heard about that. But then, are they even in the same circle? Do they interact? Mm-hmm. She doesn't even, like, do they see each other? Is she getting any signs from it? Because men don't send signs.
They don't.
If you're reading signs, you are reading the wrong thing. You're not reading, there's nothing. From my experience, I think that when men are sure about what they want, they're very loud and proud about it. In fact, they move fast so much that you need to be like, okay. But they don't really, like, women, we work with a lot of, like, body language, trying to, like,
They fool yourself.
I don't think they understand.
I know there are men here looking at me like, but true.
I don't think men are as subtle as we think.
You, like, would like them to.
When they don't like you,
you want them to like you back.
You start reading subtle signs.
They don't send subtle messages.
A guy that likes you, you will know.
They will tell you.
You know.
And if you're not clear about whether or not they like you, they don't like you.
They don't like you enough. You're fine.
Like, they're just keeping you around.
Yeah, like, it's comfy and you're having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, when you just say, I asked my friend about, babe. She said, we just have such a good time. I say, you're wicked. You're a wicked man. He now said, what did I say? I said, I asked you how it's going. Like, do you like how you guys are together? He said, you know what?
Time.
We just have the best time. I said, you're a wicked. Because I know that for her, this is like a real thing.
Yeah.
Only for this stupid boy to say, oh, they're having such a good time. I said, excuse me, she really likes you. He was like, yes.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
And they become ambiguous, like, on purpose.
I'm telling
like,
you.
Like, they are trying to keep you so you don't, you're always in that gray. Please, if he has not reached out 7 years later.
I just think that, yeah, because exes do, they do reach out. They're always giving you hi. You know, how's it going, whatever.
Happy
like,
birthday.
She gets. It's always, oh, have you been? There's always rubbish that is always coming up.
Nobody greets me.
Or like this podcast now, oh, I listened to an episode. Okay, congrats.
Nobody reaches out to me because this sort of
congratulations on listening. That's all they start. When we started the podcast, like 2 people send me, oh, congrats on the new season. Money, thank you so much. God bless you. Without you now, we could not have started.
Nobody reaches out to me. I'm too wicked. Don't reach out to me. Long time no see, and we will not see in Jesus' name. Leave me. Which one is long time no see? I cannot see. God do not allow me to see you.
Yes.
What do you mean no see? I can never see you. There's a reason I'm not seeing you. God do not allow us to see each other.
I'm in town. Are you? Wait, you are here?
For what purpose? So happy you made it in. Have a great time.
Yeah,
very good to you. And my brother came to me. I said, oh, okay. You know, that same first said, oh, that I should, he should say hi to me and that I should not be a stranger. I said, and you delivered this message to me. You didn't tell him, hey, bro, hope nothing. Which one is don't be a stranger? Okay, all this time that we've been strangers, then now.
And don't be a stranger. There's always an agenda.
There's always, look. So, anyway, sis, I really want to advise you that I think you should message him for sure.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. Out of your system.
I want to be clear on the reason. You must get it out of your system.
And you, I think I want you to write to your mind.
Your heart.
Write it as it's doing you.
And let me tell you the thing. Mm-hmm. Please don't make the mistake of telling your friends before you write.
No,
you send that message, then show your friend for added benefits.
Say it as is. People say, just tell me your mind. Yeah. Say it as it's doing you. Write
as it's doing you. That he's the only one for you. That's what I want you to express him. Then when you finish, if you have a group chat with your friends, post it there.
Yeah. And you know what, if he comes back and say, oh wow, I've been feeling this way all along, you know, and then you know what, lightning strikes,
and then we're then happy, we're for wrong. You then you write and back then in and be like, you know what, we're wrong, congrats to you guys. What's more likely?
That's why I said lightning strikes, because
what's more likely is that him and his friends are going to use you for banter.
You say, oh, ma.
The long message.
You say, oh, ma,
like
come
this.
And see this witch.
You will not be doing this.
You say, if you see this small witch, oh, for since that year, she doesn't say she has been dreaming. This guy is telling me, I hope your mother is a praying woman.
I'm telling you.
How will you be dreaming about me for 7 years?
It's hard out,
no, it's tough. It's actually tough.
No, that's crazy behavior. And it is. I promise you, you've created a person that doesn't exist.
I'm telling you.
In your mind.
I really 100%. Think that, like, there's more ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always. Okay. So, back to career. Empathetic career.
Lovely stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Lovely stuff. No, I wanted to ask about, like, the day-to-day of working with artists while building a business, because media businesses in Africa are really, people at the moment, so now, like, Afrobeat is having a moment,
right,
and it's looking amazing, but that shit is very, very hard.
It's tough.
It's incredibly difficult, particularly if you are building for, like, a global audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to start off being slightly delusional and seeing things that don't exist at all.
Yeah.
So you want to working with new artists, I'm creating a brand for them and, you know, trying to steer their creative vision because they still have things they want to do and it's mm-hmm. up to you to just, like, manage that process. But building the business side of it, because making music is just one part. It's just
literally
one side. But building the business, like, and you've built a business, you've helped build a business that's so obviously successful. It's gotten to what most people can only dream about, really. Even on, like, you know, the capital side, on the venture side, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, we're investing in something that we hope will yield dividend. Yeah. Like, that's all it is. It's just hope.
Yeah.
And then you come into a market that's kind of techy, and a lot of stuff you are doing, there's no templates. Mm-hmm. You're just
the one making templates. Yes. So.
And exactly. I wanted to ask, like, what that looked like on a day-to-day basis. Because, like I said, it's not like there are 1,001 examples that you can point to and say, oh, this has happened and this has happened and, you know, this label was able to sell or this label was able to build themselves to this level, they have this much IP, they have that stuff. Just, if we're being honest, just really doesn't, we haven't seen a lot of it here. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask what that looks like for you, because what we're saying is our albums, EPs, artists, we're enjoying it, we're going about our day. But for you guys on the business end, what did that look like, just building that structure properly?
Yes, it's a very good question. To be honest, I think...
I told you.
Very good.
It wasn't easy, I can't lie. Mm-hmm. I think that there's always been a posture of learning. Again, that's not just for me. You have someone like Tega who is literally, I feel like he's a sponge. Yeah. Like, he seeks information constantly, seeks knowledge. He'll meet people. He'll just take what he feels like, okay, this can be applicable to where we're from. Mm-hmm. But I think we've always been aware that, like, you can't just go take, you know, a PDF or a template from the US, apply it to African or Nigerian industry, Afrobeat. Doesn't work. First of all, where your artists come from, their stories, the things you're responsible for is very different from, like, a major label. I've taken an artist to a dentist before. You know, I've taken them to the spa to remove their acne.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's a different culture.
Even like family involvement.
The moms have your number.
Yes, like, where am I picking? Like, what's going on?
Oh my God. Yes, that happens. Yeah. And I think that, like, it's different from, you know, a major label in the US. They've been around for years. They have, like, it's a well-oiled machine already. They have their own. But, like, I think you couldn't just take that, apply it to, you know. So I think we had to learn the things because, like you said, there was no model for us to look at. Of course, you have someone like Jazzy Tega who've been here for so long. Jazzy has gone through several iterations of, like, this work, you know, from like Mo Hits and Maven, then Maven Global. So he's kind of seen a lot. So there's a lot of learning I personally learned from him and Tega. I think that they're both very great at, like, what you just said, you know, empowering people to actually do
their work.
I think it's such an admirable trait that I'm emulating from them. Mm-hmm. You know, they are able to, because sometimes you have people who have a lot of ego. It has to be them. They have to be the one. Da, da, da. So even though the industry is still always the boys club, they think it's like, oh, maybe it's Jazzy on his laptop, the internet, the Twitter view, you know. But then, like, it's like over 90 people now.
Yeah.
It took time to get here, right? And the daily, like, deliberate, I guess, decision to build something that lasts and not, like, take the shortcut, right? And when we were doing Kupanda, to be honest, it was you said something about lofty ideas. Like, even in the investment space, it was like, you guys,
where would this go?
I had people ask me, you know, when I moved, what is the value? Like, why are you not investing in tech? Why are you not investing?
you see yourself now?
Yeah, where is that? You know, so it's because there's no blueprints. There's nothing. It was at the time the biggest institutional investment in entertainment in Africa. And I think what has happened now is even more astronomical, right? So again, that's been between the space of 5 years. And in that 5 years, I think we've just, like, put our heads down and actually just did the work. And it took some time because, like, we have a lot of artists, and at some point we really had to just build the structure first. You know, like you said, managing, like, they want to, for an artist, is their career, right? You as an exec, like you said, you have the label, you want to make sure that there's a structure that lasts beyond even that particular artist. Okay. So you can't build it around one person. So you have to kind of make sure that all your, you know, your hiring is in place, your structures are in place, you're using them, you're thinking about, like, ROI, you're thinking about what makes sense. It's trial and error. So it's really hard to even say this is how we did it.
Yeah.
But it's about, like, learning and applying and unlearning. You know, there's a lot of things that we had to say, okay, we're not doing these things. We're not going this route, even though, like, that's where we feel like the rest of the industry is at right now. But this is where eventually it will go. For example, when I came, bookings and performance revenue are the highest.
Yeah.
Revenue for any artist, right? They book you to Ivory Coast or to Kenya or to the North, and they pay you a lot of money, or you perform at a hotel. Now it's streaming.
Mm.
But now it's streaming if you have like a global
audience.
Or even like, even if you're even in somewhere in between, you're still making a lot of money. And that's really where you want it to go, because that's what's sustainable for an artist. Even way after they're...
Like, people are still...
Listening. Yeah, even after they've retired, that's where you still make your money, right? When you're no longer that guy on stage busting it. I saw Justin Timberlake try to dance.
Please. Do you know what? That thing really broke my heart, because I was like... I just wanted to flash. If there was one move he did, I said, gently.
Gently.
If you fall down.
So you kind of, and to be honest, that when, you know, in 2016, 2017, that was not the thinking. It was still get as many shows, go perform at the weddings. But then, like, we're like, okay, what's the North Star? Like, where is the industry eventually going to get to? Anybody that's going to come to Africa or to Nigeria to invest or even value any company, they're gonna look, that's the metric they know, the streaming numbers.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure that is bolstered and that is like kind of like tracking, even if we're not yet, you know, there's so many infrastructural issues that, you know, that is hindering us from getting to that like global standard of like streaming.
Oh, trust me, we are seeing it.
So it's not easy. So hopefully as we build out, those things are also built, because we can't exist in silo. We need like the adjacent levers or pillars to also develop, right? Your venues, your ticketing, your we can't tour the country just yet. There's so many things. Security is actually the main issue. So there's a lot of build out that needs to happen. But I think the first thing was like, okay, let's build what we feel like eventually that's where we're going to get to. And I think 5 years ago, that was not the focus. Even I remember when Rema was launched in 2019. Oh, it's been that long that I'm even forgetting. That date was etched in my brain. I remember then, and like that was the first time like there was focus on the top 100 charts, right? It was like, oh, top, like then that opened up a whole
new world
of like charting and playlisting, and you know, and people started taking like DSP relationships more seriously and wanting to build their digital side. So yeah, anyways, I think it was, I don't know if I've answered your question.
You've answered it so
very well.
Okay, I have two different questions. I know we're running short, ending soon, but I have two questions. My first question is for you personally, because you work with different artists. How you like, because I'm sure in a day, you're not just like, okay, today is Ira now, tomorrow's.
No,
you're like switching. So my thing is, how do you, first of all, create, because, you know, you guys launch artists and you can see that when they launched, there's been like their vibe has been thought of, like, you know, from what they look like to like the things they do or say what their persona is as an artist. How do you think about coming up with it? And then how are you on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, switching between this and that? Because if you're coming up, let's say even you're doing just studio sessions or art for everybody on the same day, you have to switch between each person's sort of ecosystem.
Yeah.
And like for you, how do you manage? Because I'm just thinking, that must be crazy, because for everybody it's a different thing.
Yeah, you kind of have to use a different parts of your brain.
Is different for this person. And my second question is a bit more fun. I don't get into relationship talk, but how's it working with your husband?
Okay, let me answer the first one. So it's interesting. I think that it's definitely the multitasking, project management thing. You have to always, there's so many like pillars moving at the same time, right? We have like a roster. Like I said, if an artist is doing a project, they're the only ones that exist. Nothing, nobody else. And you have to think of like nine others. So it's definitely hard. I think that's a hard part of it. Switching from a Johnny Drill to a Rema, from a Rema to a Ira to a Paul. Like, these are all different brands. But think about, like, agencies that have clients, right?
They have to do that.
Yeah, this company is a telco. This company is a drink brand. This company is a candy brand. Like, they all kind of have... But there are certain things that run through the things that you do. And you talked about coming up with, like, you know, pre-planning everything. So there's this, you know, of course, we have the Maven Academy, which we call, you know, the factory. We develop artists before they come out. Some of them are there for like 2-3 years, actually. Some just a year. They're working on their branding, working on their talent, just sharpening things here and there so that they don't come out a bit, you know, not that, of course, the development continues even beyond because you then get market reaction.
Yeah.
But we try and make sure they're as ready as possible so that at least they're kind of a bankable brand the moment they're out there. But one thing that I think artists get wrong is that we don't come up with your persona. We don't. Come with it.
You have to. Yeah.
Come with it and we'll help you crystallize it. We'll help pour whatever resources to make it the biggest.
To amplify it.
Yes. You know, come as, don't come, I always say this, don't come as a goat and then you want to be a sheep, or a sheep, you want to be a goat.
Yeah.
Come as a goat and then let's make you the best,
yeah.
best goat out there. Like, yeah. I don't, that's not the,
you can't change who you are.
Yeah, you know, just come tell us, you may not know how to get where you want to go, but we'll help you, but at least have some form of vision for yourself. No, you want to be an artist. Why?
Yeah.
And what artist are you? Like, I think that's already a thing where I feel like there's a misunderstanding of, oh, come on, you know, do your magic wand and
you'll make somebody into whatever it is.
Yeah, like you have to already have a certain level of like, okay, this is where I want to see myself, right? So that we can now get you to that place. You don't have a clue, and that's what. So, but for me personally, I think is a constant reminder. You always have to update your brain in a way,
like what they're. Yeah.
Yeah, like okay, what's happening?
Because they're evolving as well.
Yeah.
So you're also now
exactly
moving.
Yeah, what's happening in Ira's world? What's that next step?
Yeah.
What's happening in Teddy's world? What's that next step? You know,
thank you.
Have you guys had her on the show?
Mm-mm, not
I
yet.
Don't remember. Not yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's exciting. I think that's what makes it like not
it
a boring.
Fun.
Yeah,
seems hectic, but a lot of fun as well.
The second one.
Oh yeah, just like, so interesting. Yeah, so he's A&R as well, which I guess that's apparent. It's been good, to be honest. It's actually weird to say this. It hasn't been it hasn't been
different.
I think he's even more empathetic than even I am. I think you know, I hear how like it's hard to work with somebody. Your
some people
with.
Can't do it.
I don't want to find out.
Especially when you're in a particular position, like when we're working, he's A&R.
Yeah.
And there's certain like posture I have to take on and he has to take on for it to work. Because I'm also rendering a service at that point, right? And so there's a way I think it's a testament to his character. Someone who is able to like, you know, there's some men that won't be able to.
Yeah, the dynamics, they can't cope.
Yeah, they can't like, tell him what to do.
Yeah.
he's not that kind of person. Mm. I think we work together first. There was that. So we established that relationship before there was like, you know.
Romance.
And there's always, I think, you know, someone who respects you and wants to see you thrive. And so they're not going to be a roadblock in why you can't do your job. I don't, if they are, then.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I have one more question, and it's about like working in your industry and being pretty high up as a woman. I think there's a lot of lip service about being a woman in whatever industry, just being a woman in X, being a woman in Y.
Mm.
There's just a lot of lip service around it. But I think you clearly, like, people may not be as aware, but what you've done is you've built, like, a very successful career. And a lot of it is really, like, the work first. Not, like, you don't see Rima first. You see a lot of her work. and you're not aware that you've seen that. But sometimes people are really afraid, particularly in media business, that if you aren't constantly shouting about whatever it is you're doing, no matter how small, it's easy for people to like dismiss it and take it away from you. And so there's a lot of anxiety for, and this is not just women, but just young people in general and working in media who sometimes are anxious about how to talk about their work, how to, I guess it's personal branding, but how to figure out, What is that balance like? Because, I mean, it's nice to be thought of as a celebrity A&R, but it's better for the
to
work.
To be a good AI.
To be really great at it. But how do you like figure it out? Because it's not like you are what people are looking for first, right? How do you figure that part out? Like, what, right. If someone comes to you and they're like, look, I know I'm good at my job, and I want to be able to do more of this thing. But at the same time, I need to make sure that it's clear that I am the one.
This thing of like, there's like a fight for like, there's like a fight for visibility and like a cult of personality.
Yeah, but you don't want to come off too.
Yeah, so a lot of people are like, this phrase personal brand, sometimes I want to throw it away. Like, not for like, for sometimes when it comes to like career people, because I'm like,
yeah.
It's important, but I feel like the way people are talking and thinking about it now, actually, it's not by posting videos. That's not what we mean, you know. But how is it for you?
What would you suggest?
This is such a complicated topic in my head. It's something, to be honest. Mm. I like, we're all women here. It's something I go back and forth within myself, because I'm such a firm believer in do the work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, just get down and let's see, do the work. Like, I can be in, you know, what's it called, board meetings today, tomorrow. I'm helping to straighten Teddy's hair on set. I don't mind whatever, running the mile to make it happen, right? But at the same time, everybody's met me. They've only met me at work.
Yeah.
Like, if you've worked with me, you've met me. If you haven't worked with me, you've not met me, because like you said, I like to be in the behind the cameras. Yeah. Every interview I've done has been like someone has said, I think it's just the way I am as a person. I prefer, like, I'm a firm believer in, like, when you smell whatever aroma you're smelling, if you open the pots, there's substance, you know, not that it's all smokes and mirrors. Because there tends to be a lot of that in the industry. And also, I think the way I came into it as well is also another way. Like, I didn't come from within the entertainment space.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like, oh, I've climbed up the ladder of the entertainment space in a way that like, oh, my buddy from back then.
You came from outside.
You know, so I came from outside. So there's a bit of like, who is she safe kind of thing, right? Because like,
trust.
So there's, you know, but it's hard, because I saw this video the other day that said that, you know, they always tell you, put your head down, do the work, your work will speak for you. There's some lady, all those podcasts stuff, you know. And then she was like, yeah, that time will come, they'll forget about you. Like, there's no, I don't know how she said it, but she said it in a very like way that was jarring to me. I'm like, huh, okay, maybe I need to kind of like, I don't know how, there's a thin line between trying to like be visible and trying to chase clout.
That's, you know,
thin.
What I think it is.
Line is so thin.
You know what I think
it's
so it is? Thin. I think it's having enough to talk about.
No, but sometimes it's not.
Like, start off thinking about it that I have to have enough to talk about. So,
but she has to, in fact, she has
no,
to.
But no, but no, Rima, because Rima is slightly more introverted.
Yeah.
So that makes it like harder.
And also even the way to talk about it, because again, you can't come out, you can't like try and overtake your personality and become a different thing.
I don't think I'll be happy if I'm not myself.
Exactly.
And also, talking about you, so artists don't tell you this, but like, people that work around artists have to be careful.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way you can claim your own personal branding and like, but your branding, they're linked. I can't talk about my work here without talking about Ira.
Yeah.
Without talking about Rema, without talking about you know, all the artists I work with, Bayani, Spice. Like, I have to kind of bring them into the conversation. And there's only so much I can say, because it's also their careers I'm talking about. Like, when you're an A&R, you're linked.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of make sure that you don't come off to your artist as, this is why you're here. Even though you should be given credits for your work. Mm. I think that we need to just find a better, even as women, like, don't shy away from getting the credits that you deserve and boldly saying that I worked on this. But also, there's a thin line between overselling yourself and actually taking the credits for, you know, I see people's bios, and then like, you know, things are overflogged in a way. I mean, be loud and proud, you know.
But it's figuring it out. It's
difficult to toe the line.
It really is. And there are people that do it in a way that is tasteful.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I have to, as I've said, all this is not, kudos to the people who are able to take their credit by force.
Yeah.
Especially women. Because it's so easy to go unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
it's easy to go unnoticed. Like, you have platforms that will come and say, oh, 30 this, that did 30 this. And you're like, hmm. I guess.
And you're thinking, who did it exactly?
And you know, and you're like, okay, you know, do I exist?
Yeah.
But you do, and you're doing the work. And I think that, like, if it's so important to you, which I think it should be because of the industry you're in, sadly, like, at the end of the day, you kind of have to try, because they're not going to give you visibility. Mm-mm. It's not like, oh, you know, come into this meeting and they say, oh, meet this person that did.
Yeah.
It tends to be so informal sometimes that, like, you don't have a route to visibility. It's different when you're, like, in Wall Street or, you know, there's no... Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, but it's like it's a complicated thing, but it's very important. And I think about this so often because I'm just like, it's a hard line to toe.
But I have advice for, like, the people that create this visibility, right? Like, platforms like yours are so refreshing, to be honest. But, like,
I've never heard that one before.
I swear.
Like, you know, it is. I think it's very, it's not pretentious. I think that's why, like, I felt...
Empathetic.
I feel like I put myself in trouble. But to be honest, the people that aggregate, the people who are, like, thought leaders, the people who are, you know, on Twitter, have, like, media pages that are focused on data in the industry now. Yeah. There's so many of them. You know, try and do more research. Just try and
ask a few more questions.
Yeah, try and go behind the scenes more and, like, actually see what the credits are. You know, even down to your songwriters and your producers. Yeah. Like, try and highlight people better. Like, don't just go and just, oh, this guy, I always see him. He must be the one that's doing all these things. Mm. And then you have the same guy always being in every single thing. You're not giving opportunity and empire. So the people that are in the room, the people that are on that table, just go and do your research better before you make your list.
Yeah.
You know, just try.
Like, when you're celebrating people, try and check.
I think it helps with the, I guess, this whole inclusion thing that we're talking about. Yeah. And it's not women. It's not about, it's really, it's
But yeah, before we go, I want to ask you, like, at the moment, I know, like, there's a lot of stuff you're super proud of, but given, like, the context of your career, can you tell us, like, two or three things that whenever you think about, oh, we did that, like, that's a top.
You might want to say without, because it'd be tough.
I know,
if you have
because
to
now I'm just, I'm going to be in trouble. There's a way I can answer that.
You do that.
See, I think I'm proud of every Maven artist that we launch, because it didn't start from the day we launched them. We kind of know a lot of the back end that got them there, and the success may not seem as apparent outside yet, but we kind of know the successes. Yeah, like, you know, there's certain milestones. What is the success for this artist different from what is the success from that artist? And sometimes the industry doesn't measure it like that. They don't measure you based on your past success. They measure it based on, like, who is number one right now, which is very unfair. So, but I'm definitely proud of all my artists. I'm proud of all the work that we've done, the work that they're doing. I think that right now, I'm really proud of, like, where Maven is at as a company. You know, the new partnership that we have, that, you know, I'm sure you all have seen, it wasn't an easy fit. Yeah. And I think that, like, it was just tireless work from the team to get to that, and to be able to get such, like, confidence and belief from, like, again, another institution, which, you know, they don't have to. It just shows the work that we've been doing, and you know, there's all the artists, everybody that works there, all 90 people, HR,
huge
everyone.
Flex, though.
So it's really, so I'm really proud of that, and I'm really, like, excited about where it could go. It just makes everything a lot bigger. The stakes are higher, of course, but yeah.
Yay! Thank you for coming, Rima.
Thank you so much.
This was so nice.
It was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. I think people are gonna love it.
Yes.
Thank you.
What are those things we say?
Intro. Okay. No, no, about subscribing.
Subscribe.
Sorry, please. Do you know someone said that was so lackadaisical about getting people to like subscribe and download? And sometimes it's just because, like, you know, I know you people. okay if I say you subscribe, sometimes you won't subscribe. Sometimes you're still going to do the one
do
you
what
like.
You
so
want
for me,
to.
I'm just like, listen, okay, please subscribe and download and
like it and
also,
share.
Don't you get?
But it's so, up to you.
It's up to you.
I mean, I saw. Do you know what? Actually, Charlie May said, "You too will still pray."
You will still have somebody to do something for you. Anything you want to do, if you like, don't share, it's good.
No, that's
you
fine. Know?
God did.
Yeah, you can't.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
She was like, why don't you guys, you know, she was like, you guys never take it seriously. And I'm like, okay, so if we shout, oh, like, her, this, subscribe, okay, what will you do?
Yeah, does that work?
I don't know.
This good?
Has it worked for me? I listen to other people's things. I skip over it.
I don't subscribe on YouTube, but I watch. I don't know how, but I watch.
They said it makes a difference. So
they said it makes a difference.
That we should ask them.
So anyway, having said all that, do share and subscribe.
And like and do all the things.
All that. But like, honestly, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's
fine. I think they're more likely to follow the Instagram page.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was great. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Do you want people to find you?
Sure.
Okay.
Where can they find you?
In the spirit of
Where can they find you?
Do I have to say my Instagram handle? Okay, so it's at oh, it's so weird now saying it out loud. It's at Rimoon RIMO and like triple U's NE. I don't know if that like
okay. Yeah, they'll find it, don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, so that's
all
it.
Right.